Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Hey, we are here with the CEO Roundtable put on by the fine folks at CU Benefits Alliance. That would be the gentleman right next to me, Mr. John Harris. John, how you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And so the topic today that we're talking about, and I'll say the topic before we do some introductions again. The topic today is improving ROA by leveraging employee benefits and other strategies. So very interesting, very timely conversation as well. And so again, quick introductions here. Again, Mr. John Harris, CEO of CU Benefits Alliance, right there next to me. John, thanks again for putting this all together for us and participating. And this is going to be a fun conversation, eh?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Indeed. All right. And then right next to me on the other side of me is Mary Beth Spuck from, she's CEO of Resource One Credit Union from Dallas, Texas. Mary Beth, how are you?
I'm great. Great. Great to have be here today. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Great to have you as well. And then right below me, kind of diagonal, is Mr. Doug Peterson, CEO of Workers Credit Union from Littleton, Massachusetts. Doug, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks. I'm doing great. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you, Doug. Thanks for taking time out to chat with us. And then last but not least is Mr. Mark Zook, CEO of MAPS Credit Union in Salem, Oregon. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. It's good to be part of such a distinguished group here.
I know this is a very distinguished panel, and we're covering the United States. So this is we've got almost every corner of the country covered here. So good stuff. All right. The first question here, this is for everybody here. And Mary Beth, I'm going to let you go first on this one. So ladies first, what are the top couple of areas you are focused on in the next 1 to 2 years to improve earnings and ROA? Mary Beth?
Well, isn't that the $64,000 question, right?
Got that right.
You know, for us, though, I'll have to say that ROA and net income really aren't necessarily the problem. Our net income and our ROA are up significantly over last year. Just from April of 2020, our net income's up over almost 180%. Our ROA is up 65 basis points. What we're struggling with is our net worth, which obviously is a component of net income. But in any normal year circumstances, we would be doing absolutely great, right? Because of our asset growth, our net worth is being impacted significantly. So yes, we are putting some emphasis on net income over the next 2 years, 24 months. We're trying to do things that are having not so much of as an impact to members, though we are trying to ramp up our lending. You know, our lobbies were closed for a year, and that impacted our lending. Our loan to share ratio runs in the mid to high 90s. Over the last year, it's dropped down, and especially with our deposits growing, into the low 80s. So we're doing some tweaking on the lending side, seeing what we can do in that area, trying to bring on some lending opportunities and some products, new lending products. But since we've opened up our lobbies on March 30th, April's right back up to where it should be in lending. So what we're really focusing on is some other opportunities such as CUSO investments, some things that are not really impacting our members. And we're taking a look at secondary capital.
Fantastic. That actually sounds like good news. So things are on the upswing for sure. Doug, what's your perspective on that question? Get your take.
Wow. I wish I could match Mary Beth's up. What was that? 1,500% or something, Mary Beth? It sounded awesome. So, you know, we're doing well. I'd like to talk about a couple things that are more strategic, but they're going to have ROA ramifications. The first of which is we're going through a core vendor search. Okay. So I'm sure everybody else is excited. They wish they could be joining us going through a core vendor search. But, so from a, you know, from a strategic standpoint, you know, we want to have the ability to really adjust to the market more quicker. So we want to be able to have the flexibility and a lot of different strategic things that we're looking for. But having said that, as we're going through this process, there's some real money on the table, Mike, that we plan on taking advantage of. So we haven't done this in a while. So this will give us a chance to take advantage of that. And hopefully at the end of the day, we'll have a better mousetrap and it'll cost us a lot less money. So the other big initiative that we have going on, and we've been doing this for a couple of years too, is we're trying to transition, or we have been transitioning our business model to really work with our members to help them improve their financial health. So what we do is all of our staff, for example, have been certified financial educators. Mm-hmm. So they can sit down with our member and talk about, well, do you have a budget? And everybody says no, right? So let me help you build that budget. And then, you know, do you have that, you know, $400 set aside for a rainy day fund and yada, yada, yada. So that's a big, big initiative that we've gone through and transitioned all of our operations to be able to adjust to that aspect. So that's been huge for us. It's not expected to be an ROA factor, but it's expected to change our business model quite a bit along those lines. So,
all right. Some big plans for this year, it sounds like, Doug, and that core search. Good luck with that. All right.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Mark. So get your take on that question as well. What are a couple of areas that you're focused on?
You bet. Great, great question. And I sort of share, thankfully we are not in a core search. Good luck, Doug. Have fun with that. But what Mary Beth said holds true for MAPS a bit. We've seen a lot of compression in capital and growth deposits coming in. I'm sure Doug has seen exactly the same thing as we all have. We are sort of looking out a little bit, and I think our general concern has been around, we've always been a pretty good revenue credit union. And as such, I've sort of been super forgiving on operational expense. You know, it just grows, but as long as we're sort of outpacing that growth, it's great. And so ROA has been okay, but we're starting to see, you know, not starting to, we've been seeing compression in loan yields, and that is pushing our ROA down a bit. And so we took a new approach this year. We said, you know what, for the mid to long range, we're going to actually start focusing on operational expense growth control.
Okay.
And so we created a team, and what we've been working on is fundamentally looking at ways to take our biggest expense, which is compensation expense, and not change our staffing structure, but look to curb that expense down over time. So what do we need to do that? And our conclusion was, from an efficiency perspective, we needed to look at things like robot process automation, not really looking at AI specifically, because that's a little bit more pie in the sky for us right now, mm-hmm. but to take those things that are simple tasks and automate any simple tasks. So it's actually been really interesting, really fun. It's not anything that is like the tip of the spear with regard to technology. Big banks do it all the time. Credit unions do it, especially the larger credit unions. When we actually started to go out, we asked the vendors to give us recommendations on who to talk to. And every credit union that we talked to was over $5 billion. So it sort of says it's sort of coming down to our level, slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, essentially, it's not a complicated thing. It's just a software that emulates human interactions on a computer, mm-hmm. you know, it understands what's on the screen. It opens applications, it transfers data from one place to another, all essentially using a mouse and keyboard. So it's simple technology. We actually set out to look at what we could do there. And we've developed sort of a use case. It's a simple transaction, simple process in the credit union. It's done by the contact center. It was a 27 click process.
Oh my gosh.
Contact center does every day. Through DNA from a crystal report, we shaved 4 minutes a line off of that. We do about 30 of those a day. So you can see there's an hour of time that was saved. We took that process. We're now bringing that to different teams. The first team we brought that to said, oh, geez, we have 20 of those we can do. And we're just sort of letting them vet it themselves and get comfortable with it. And we're slowly rolling that out. The credit unions that we've talked to, the one that's most mature, they've been doing it for about 3.5 years, bigger credit union, it's mm-hmm. over $10 billion, but they've actually shaved 100,000 hours out.
Wow.
A year, 50 FTE. And wow. So we look at that and we know all of us, well, we don't have the infrastructure of a $10 billion credit union. We have close to the same FTE, they're more efficient than we are.
Yeah.
So what can, not close to the same FTE, but they're more efficient at FTE than we are. So what can we do to impact our size credit union through these technologies? So that's actually kind of the most exciting thing for me this year.
And I've been hearing more and more of that as well. I mean, and it's amazing how something so simple can make such a huge impact, you know, over time. So, wow, excited to hear more about that in the future, Mark. So good stuff. Good stuff on from all three of you. John, did you want to add anything to that? Did you want to kind of say anything on the tail end of that?
No. That was good stuff. Yeah. I love hearing these stories. And one of the good things I have opportunity is to visit with folks like you see on the screen all the time. So these things are kind of, what Mark just said is kind of out there to me. It's like, that's really cool, you know? So it's really neat to hear those things. So
yeah, it's all coming to reality for sure. All right, Doug, I'm coming at you with the next question here. I understand you made a change to your benefit strategy in 2019. So tell us a little bit about why and the strategies deployed and some results if you got them.
Yeah, sure. So actually, let me take a step back, Mike, because I talked to John before and we talked about doing it and we had some discussions and he kept saying, you know, Doug, it's something that they, you know, they handle all the heavy lifting, right? So for us, it's not like a big job. And so then you go to our internal people and say, oh no, we got to do this. We got to do that. We're so busy. We can't do anything else. We're so busy. So we looked and I hemmed and hummed and John said, you know, there's some real dollars there. So we said, all right, let's just give it a shot. Right. So probably it was in the June timeframe or so, John, wasn't it, that we said, let's give that a shot. And we went through and our team worked with John's team and they really did a terrific job. Everybody loved them. They really did do a lot of the heavy lifting. Now we had some changes we had to do internally, obviously to get our plans to what they would need to be and stuff. And you know, fast forward, we tried it for the first year and we saved over $800,000. So for us, that was, for any of us, that's real money, right? So that really was real terrific. And honestly, Mike, we did better the second year, but I don't want to say that because, you know, with the COVID thing, all the you know, healthcare costs are way down, right? Because people aren't doing those things that they do in the past. So our numbers are much lower, but we're expecting obviously that those savings at least will continue into the future. So overall, it was something that we were hesitant at first, but we did honestly with you know John's team, their help, we were able to implement it relatively easily, and you know from day one, it was working really well for us. So
fantastic. And Mary Beth, one of the hurdles for many C-suite leaders these days is considering implementing any kind of change and the impact that it has on staff. So since you have gone through two transitions to CU Benefits Alliance, one at TwinStar and then once at Resource One where you are now, what was the impact on your staff and executive team when joining CU Benefits?
Sure. You know, the first time I did this conversion back at TwinStar, I think it was maybe 2011, 2012. I'm trying to remember back that far. It's hard to believe, like, is that 10 years ago?
It was by like that, yeah.
You know, and I brought that to the executive team because at that time I was over the HR department. And I basically told them it was a leap of faith, right? I said that on paper, it looked really good, that we kind of needed to try it. It was a little bit of a conversion for some staff because they had been on an HMO for so long. Mm-hmm. But my gosh, we did really well in the program. And then I did an analysis about 4 years later. And over that 4 year time period, we had saved $3.5 million just from having a fully funded plan to a self-insured plan. So then when I moved to Texas, came to Resource One, the credit union was already in a self-insured plan and was part of a credit union, but I still felt that the premiums were too high because I had seen over the years where we had decreased the premiums for employees at TwinStar, I just felt that the premiums were too high and everybody kept telling me, oh, it's Texas, it's different, you know, this is the way it is. We're in this great program with credit unions. And so we were there 2 years and I said, we're going to try this. And immediately out of the gate, we converted last year have saved employees 30% a month in their premiums. I still feel like they're too high, but we need to be on the and see how we can lower those, because employees pay for their dependent coverage, and I'm all about trying to lower that. But in the end, they've gotten better coverage and lower premiums. And what more can you ask to give your employees when it comes to medical coverage?
Agreed. Oh, good stuff there. Good. And it just pays to have that previous experience too, and recognizing things like that. So good catch there. All right, Mark, we're coming to you, sir. So you've been working on the MAPS Credit Union Employee Benefits Expense Strategy for 10 years now. So do you have any proof that implementing some of CU benefit strategies have had an effect on your bottom line? And if so, what? Oh, I think you're on mute. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Story of my life.
We've all heard that too many times this year. Yeah. On mute.
I would say I'm Mary Beth and I, we were part of the group that originally sort of conceptualized CU benefits and brought it forward. And you know, Doug's been a long collaborator, just, you know, joining CU benefits a couple of years ago. I think we can all sort of say, yeah, it's been a good deal. It's been a delivered better service to our folks, because we've been able to enhance benefits from the savings that we've seen, mm-hmm. and still recognize those savings. And so MAPS was about half the size of Twin Star, half the size of workers. But you know, we've been able to sort of quantify over the years what our savings has been. And currently with our employee size now, it looks to us like we're saving about $325,000 a year off of this program, averaging sort of over time. We were about half our size 10 years ago when we started. If we look at that with the growth rate and the savings over that 10-year timeframe, between $2.5 and $3 million for us. So annualized now and moving forward, that'll grow about 325. It looks like we save about $1,500 per employee per year by self-insuring.
That's huge.
Those are sort of the basic numbers. I like that you have basic numbers that I can remember. 1,500, I can remember. So it's been a good journey for us.
That's fantastic. Oh my gosh. And just a real quick question. I mean, do the savings allow you to reallocate those funds and elsewhere in your credit union to, like, you know, hey, we need to shore up services in that area or the operations in this area? Does it allow you to do things like that? I mean, just a quick yes or no would be, I mean, I see people nodding their heads. Yes, that allows us to do Fantastic. Oh my gosh, it's such great stuff. John, I mean, so have you actually measured the ROA improvement for credit unions working with CU Benefits Alliance? And if so, how does the cost of a group's employee benefits affect their ROA?
Well, yes. And actually, Mary Beth brought up a good point, because we don't actually make it a point to go measure ROA improvement for every credit union that we work with. But when what kind of made the light bulb go off for me was when Twin Star did what Mary Beth said, they evaluated what happened over the 4 years of implementing some of our programs. And when she told me it was $3+ million over that 4 year period, I'm like, whoa, you know, I knew we were doing well, but I think her analysis, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mary Beth, but I think you were looking at more than just premium dollars. You were looking at some intangible things too, like maybe retention and things like that in that model. Is that correct?
Actually, the 3 point was strictly premium.
Okay. Wow. Even yeah. better. Yeah. But there's probably intangibles there too, keeping people from leaving you, you know, you can bring down the cost for your employees. Okay. But so we actually have done ROA tracking to see how that works. And to give you a quick example, everybody on this call knows how you calculate that, but there may be some viewers here that maybe need a quick lesson. But your ROA is determined by taking your net income divided by your average assets. So there's basically, it's real simple math. And so if you can drive anything to the bottom line to increase your net income, that numerator number, and keeping average assets the same, then your ROA is going to go up, just the way math works. So when we saw that study that the TwinStar did, we're like, wow, this is going to be very helpful for credit unions to drive that ROA number. Mm-hmm. So a quick example, we looked at, the first one we looked at was a credit union that had about $1.7 million in assets. $1.7 billion in assets. Net income was about $11.5 million, running at about a 6.64 ROA in the year prior to us working with them. And then the following year, they went from a 0.64 ROA to a 0.71, I believe it was, ROA. So we added about $1 million of net income to their bottom line for that year. And it made about a 9% boost in their ROA. Now, we're not going to take 100%, you know, credit for that, because there's all kinds of factors involved in that. But it obviously helped to add $1 million to the bottom line. So anytime you can add, you know, additional either expense reduction or revenue to the bottom line, it's going to help ROA. So yeah, we've proven it now over and over that if you tackle those top three or four large expenses in the credit union or in any organization, really, it's going to impact that number. And it takes a lot to move the needle on the ROA, as they can all attest to. It's because their assets are growing, as they all indicated. They've grown, these three credit unions, and almost every credit union has grown assets tremendously in the past 12 to 24 months. So that number goes up on the bottom, and that means you got to have more net income to affect the ROA.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. Hey, as you were, excuse me, as you were talking, John, a couple of questions came in from attendees. So thank you for that, attendees. Here's one for everybody here. What do each of you think will be the greatest threat to credit unions over the next 36 months? And Mary Beth, I'll let you go first and just try to answer these real briefly.
You know, what comes to mind is sort of the fintechs. If you look at Chime, is this new spending account that you can sign up online. You know, they're doing a lot of things that credit unions are doing, but the way that they're marketing it and they sort of package it up, that's a threat. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to deal with that.
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, what Chime is doing is what credit unions have been doing all along, but the marketing that Chime has just been phenomenal. So yeah, good point. Doug, what are some threats that you see out there for the next 36 months?
Yeah, I mean, added competition is always a big one, Mike. And of course, I'm worried about MAPS Credit Union coming to the Northeast sometime and worried about those guys. So maybe that's another competition I got to worry about. But no, yeah,
that
certainly
would not be the case. Trust me.
There's always new competition every week, it seems like. So that's a big concern. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled on the horizon for sure. Mark, what do you have in this area?
Mary Beth and Doug stole my two. So, one thing that I'm not sure is the biggest threat, but it is a concern that I have for MAPS in general, and I think for just credit unions in general. And that is, 50% of our competition is large banks, right? So those consumers just won't leave. And when we look at the technology resources they can deploy,
mm-hmm.
We have to do a really good job of sort of becoming bionic as an organization, meaning that we can't really be digital first, we can't be human first, and we have to find a way to seamlessly integrate digital and human experience so that we have a competitive advantage while also driving a digital first world. So to me, that would be something that sort of nags at me a little bit. And how do we get there? How do we build that?
Yeah, that's the balance that a lot of folks are looking for. And I believe the term, Mark, is called phygital. So if you guys can get 50-50 in that area, you're good to go.
Yep. Yep. So
I have another question from the attendees. And this one's for you, John. Yep. Is there a simple way to determine if or how much we're overpaying for our healthcare program?
So nothing's ever easy, right? But if I was going to give a simple answer, the first thing that we do to determine if somebody has an opportunity in their health plan, maybe spending too much, it would be this one thing. And that would be to determine what you're currently paying, what we call it per employee per year in medical and pharmacy kind of cost. So find out what that number is. And how you do that is you just go look at your current invoice from from your insurance carrier or administrator. And on the invoice, you're paying an amount every month to that carrier. Take that number from a current monthly invoice and then the total number of employees that are on that invoice. So let's just say you have $1 million invoice from the insurance company and you have 100 employees. The 100,000 divided by 100 employees is $1,000 per employee per month cost. Then you need to multiply that by 12 for 12 months. It gives you a per employee per year cost. Okay. So $1,000 times 12 months is $12,000 per employee per year. And that's the number you need to come up with. This is the simple thing. First, if you're on the East Coast or West Coast, they have the highest healthcare costs, highest insurance costs in the country. So if you're on the East Coast or West Coast, if that number, that per employee per year number is above 10,500, probably, then there's opportunity for you to cut that cost considerably. If you're in the central states who have more what we call average healthcare costs, if you're over about 8,500 in per employee per year cost, there's opportunity. So that's the simple answer.
Okay.
That's just kind of the first watermark. If you see that in your own plan, there could be opportunity. So,
okay. Well, it sounds like I'm moving to Texas. I'm going to join Mary Beth Credit Union. So save some money on my end again. But anything else to wrap up, Mary Beth? Any final words of wisdom here?
I don't have anything else.
Doug, any final words of wisdom here on this one?
Honestly, just give it a try. It wasn't that much work, but don't tell any of my employees, will be mad at me, but just give it a try, you know, because we saved quite a bit. And honestly, it gives you more flexibility for the future too. So
no doubt. And Mark, any final words?
No, nothing comes to mind. I think the questions were really, really good. The question that John just answered, I'd never heard before. That was really interesting to me about, what your per employee per year should be. And if it's not that, maybe you should take another look. That was great. I just never heard it. So I'm sort of still pondering that.
Well, you can watch it again on the record. How about that?
Excellent.
So, good stuff. All right, guys. And John, anything else here to add to wrap up besides pulling up your guitar and giving us a tune real quick?
Yeah,
tune?
Let's play a little bit. Now, just thank you all for taking the time today and really appreciate it. So, and they know this because I tell them this, but these are the leaders. I mean, these are, there's always people that lead and there's people that follow, and you're looking at some leaders right here. So I really thank them for being part of what we're doing and we're a part of what they're doing. So we thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you guys. I know you guys were super busy, you're up to your earlobes and stuff to do. So we appreciate the time that you took out to chat with us and share some wisdom with everybody out here. And John, thank you again for putting this together, and everyone out there watching, thank you for attending. And if you missed it or you missed part of it, stay tuned for the recording as well. And we'll have that posted for you too. So great stuff. And again, everyone, keep up the good work and be safe and be well. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everyone.
Good job. Well done, everybody. And I think we're out. Yeah.